Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. How are you today?
Great, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you, and thanks for joining us. You know, there have been reports recently that identity theft malware has surged recently. Is this something that ESET has seen?
You know, it's kind of difficult to say. I know our researchers have told me about a lot of programs that they're seeing that steal information, but it's difficult to know if in part it's because we're getting better at detecting it and the problem was already that big,
right,
or if it's actually that people are doing more. And I tend to suspect that it's people are doing more. And as people get more computer savvy, especially the bad guys, they're going to go not only with what works, but try different attempts to do the same thing. So a lot of people think this probably has something to do with the global economy.
Right.
And there may be some component to that. But I believe that cybercrime would be growing regardless because it's really still in its infancy. It's only a few years old, and people are still figuring out how to do it better and better and better. So I think we can expect an increase in malicious identity stealing programs for the foreseeable future.
So what are some of the new approaches that the bad guys have taken, given that this type of attack still is in its infancy?
The new stuff really has more to do with distribution methods. It used to be that these programs were distributed through email. The email clients have gotten a bit more secure. They
right.
often don't let you download an executable file as an attachment in email. So instead of attaching a file, you get phishing emails where they send you to a website. And sometimes these websites will ask you for the usual information, you know, your bank account number, your PIN, stuff like that. But other times, the websites look like advertising websites that will exploit unpatched vulnerabilities. So they'll download the malicious software as soon as you go to the website if your computer is not currently patched. We also see a lot of attacks via social networking sites,
right,
including Twitter. So you'll get a link on Twitter, you know, someone tweets a link and you click on it, and it'll take you to a website that may use what we call drive-by techniques where it exploits vulnerabilities, or it may say, here's a free ringtone or a free smiley, you know, emoticon, any kind of free program, free music. And if the person downloads it and runs it, then they get infected. So I don't really see a huge change in how the bad guys go about doing this. They're just doing more and more of it because they can, and it's working.
Right. No, it definitely sounds like while they're using the same approach, the vector itself that they're attacking has changed. I mean, do you think that the sudden surge in social networking and sites like Twitter have played a significant role in this increase? And are folks, I guess, using personal information on social networks to target individuals? Or does it seem to be easier, I guess, to target someone on a social network these days than via email?
There are some ways that social networking sites can make targeting much easier. For example, in the case of a Twitter, people think that someone's interesting and follows their tweets. And so if a bad guy can set up an interesting profile, then shortly into their profile, they can insert a malicious link and people will click on it. But additionally, with the amount of public information about people and the really sorry state of password reset questions and
right.
and bad passwords, accounts can get hacked. So if I use a bad password on my Twitter account, my MySpace account, my Facebook account, then it can get hacked. And you'll think that I sent you the link when it was actually someone that hacked into my account that sent the link to you. So, yeah, that it's definitely significant. But no matter what we do to close the holes, history has taught us that criminals will figure out new approaches to try to steal. So it's going to be out there, and people just need to become more educated and more cautious, but they can't be more cautious without the education. So they need to learn to spot social engineering attacks.
Absolutely. So in addition, we all know how important it is to have strong passwords and different passwords for all of the accounts. What should folks look out for? And is there anything that they should not put on their profile and that they should not tweet? What are some maybe main tips to stray from?
Well, one of the best practices is don't tweet that you're on vacation.
Right.
I mean, this isn't cyber. This just tells every bad guy in your neighborhood that you're not at home. And so that's been one way that people have gotten burglarized, you know, good old-fashioned physical burglary. The other thing really isn't so much what you shouldn't put on your profile, although it's a good idea not to put a lot of information on your profile, but understand that anything you put on your profile, the whole world knows. So just because someone says, oh, I love huskies, it doesn't mean that they know you and know you have a husky dog. It means that they read your profile and you said you have a husky as a pet. It's also a really good idea not to post public information about friends and relatives. That has to be their decision whether or not they make that information public, and you need to respect that. And a really high-profile case of that was with the new head of a British security organization, where his wife put on a social networking site where they were going on vacation, a picture of him, and it was a really big fiasco for the British government.
Interesting. Well, Randy, thanks so much for talking to us a little bit about this increase in, you know, identity theft, malware, and what people should be on the lookout for, you know, now and in the future as these attacks continue. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Randy on this topic or any others, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams.